Good morning, Atlanta. Oh, I love when we get the double music, don't you? So much fun.
A double dose of fun.
So much fun.
Today.
We know what we're doing here at Good Morning Atlanta. We don't really know how to produce radio. We just pretend. So, you know, whatever. You got to do what you got to do.
Right.
That's right. We're having fun. So,
that's the most important thing.
It is the most important thing in life, don't you think so? So, before we get into all of our craziness here at Good Morning Atlanta, first of all, I guess I should say it's another Wednesday. We're in March sometime, right? What is it? March 21st. March 21st. The time
you
got
the date right.
I know. I usually mess it up.
I'm so impressed.
Time is just flying by. It's spring. And we have a lovely guest in the studio. Well, of course, first of all, I'm Dana Barrett.
And I'm Elizabeth Gordon.
That's right.
And I'm Marty Blackstock.
Oh, Marty. Way to take care of yourself. Marty's joining us today. She's our guest.
Yes. Marty Blackstock, who is the vice president of Parkway Realty Services. Their office is right across the street from us here at 200 Peachtree. They're over at 225 Peachtree Street, which is Peachtree Center, the heart of downtown Atlanta. Is it not, Marty?
Yes, it is. With 2.5 million square feet, it covers four city blocks, and it's pretty much the prominent heartbeat of downtown.
You know, I never realized it covered four city blocks.
It's a big center.
Marty's having trouble hearing us, so we want to make sure she can hear us. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. You can't hear yourself? Oh, interesting. Never had that happen before, Marty. See, as I said, we don't really know what we're doing here. So, you know, but you guys work that out. Well, I'll just keep talking over here. I can talk to myself. I'm very good at it. Is that any better? Talk to us, Marty. Can you hear yourself?
A little better. It sounds like I'm in a cave, like I'm in a little box, and that is
now?
Much better.
Okay.
That's much better.
Now I have to turn myself down. I have to turn myself off. I do that a lot, turn myself off, but you know.
I guess she's a little more soft-spoken than you and I, Dana.
I know, right? We're
just
screamers.
Like, right, rock in the house.
That's right.
Playing hot air around our hot studio.
Right, it is hot in here. And it's going to get hotter and hotter. And speaking of the weather, let's talk about the fact that Atlanta, first of all, I'm from the Northeast originally. Let me just point that out. Though I've been here for more than half my life at this point. And the pollen count just gets worse and worse every year. I really have a temptation to get a chainsaw and just cut down every flowering tree in the city and haul them out to the ocean and dump them. Is that wrong? Because
it is wrong.
It is wrong. I admit it.
So infuriated with the flowers, but it is insane. I mean, it's like nothing you've ever experienced until you move down here, and the blanket coating.
Oh my God! And you know,
greeted me every morning it's terrible.
It's gross. And people up north and out west and in the Midwest and wherever don't understand. I guess there are other parts of the country that deal with this, but I don't think they really understand. And so this is how bad it is. We set a record on Tuesday. Yesterday.
Yes.
For the highest pollen count ever.
Ever.
And this is news that was actually reported in the Atlanta Business Chronicle. Like, this is not even just like, this is business news now, because it's affecting all of us.
It does. Yes.
I'm not even officially allergic, but like my contacts are glued to my eyeballs. I'm like, you know, like, hey, I have to talk all day and I can't even feel my throat, you know, because you're just inhaling dust.
Yeah. Shared a cup of coffee yesterday morning with a colleague, and we elected to sit outside at Starbucks.
Because it's beautiful, and you think.
And after about 30 minutes, I mean, I couldn't see.
Right.
And I'm not prone to allergies either. And so I did go to Target last night and buy some Clear Eyes.
Nice.
Which maybe that'll get us through. The good thing that I see behind it is, if you can remember in years past, pollen count maybe was 6,000 or 7,000, but
yeah,
it lasted longer.
Yeah.
And so since it's so warm, everything's completely busting open, and
yeah,
I think the duration will be
all right.
Less.
I'm gonna.
Well, that's a good
way to look at it.
Yeah, I'm gonna write that down and call you if it's wrong.
Okay.
Martin's coming back, and
because see what I deal with from a real estate perspective is we've got buildings all over town that are covered in yellow, and you don't want to wash the windows yet. Because
it's just going to happen again.
It's still coming. So we've got crews out that'll start next Monday to wash everything down, and you want to be on the tail end of it.
That's interesting. I never thought about it in terms of like high-rise buildings.
Well, because I've thought about it in terms of, do I get my car washed now?
Right.
Or do I wait a whole nother week? Yeah. So that's like the very small scale. When you're talking about 7 million 1,000 square feet of real estate, that's a whole nother. Yeah,
well, and even right. you know, I guess I always just thought you just wait for rain. You know, from when I had a house, I didn't wash the windows. I just waited for rain. But I guess when you have an office building, especially one that you're trying to, you know, lease out, you want it to look its best. You got to keep it sparkly and shiny.
You know, and if you have the sloped glass, which a lot of buildings do, and you could walk right up to Peachtree and you can see the skylights that we have over the retail. They're right now, they look like they've been painted yellow.
Yeah.
And so I said, get out the hose it down today, and then we'll really give it a deep clean after.
That's interesting. I never, ever thought about that.
I still love spring, though.
I do, too.
Yes.
But I got to tell you, when I first moved here about 20 years ago, I didn't know anything about this pollen thing. I had no idea. No one told me. No one warned me. I guess people who live here just are used to it and they don't think about it. Mm-hmm. And so I went to work, you know, it's like my first job out of college or whatever. And I went to work and left all my windows open because I had no idea. And I came home that day. And of course, my apartment was just yellow.
Oh, it's.
And I didn't know what it was. I was looking around like, oh, my God, is this a nuclear holocaust? Like, was there an explosion during the day that I missed? Am I going to die? What is this? I had no idea. I had to, like, ask someone, what is this yellow?
It's a very freaky color.
Yeah.
It's like an unnatural looking phenomenon. It looks like a powder Mountain Dew, which I've always thought Mountain Dew is a very unnatural color.
You're right about that. They will now not ever be our sponsor, but there you go.
So Atlanta was named number 15 on the most stressful cities list. Mostly they're saying because of the commute.
Interesting.
In the city.
So wait, number what, 15?
15. So, I mean, that's not horrible.
No.
That's not like, I mean, I guess.
What was number one? Did you notice?
Tampa.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Tampa was the number one most stressful city.
You'll read in that article, I had the same reaction that the gentleman did in the article, where you read through and three of the top 10 cities are Tampa, Jacksonville, and
Las Vegas, Miami.
Miami.
And you're Florida going, apparently is a stressful
What's the concentration
state?
With Florida? I mean, I would have thought New York, Chicago,
right.
L.A.
Isn't everybody in Florida retired?
And relaxed?
What are they stressed about?
Aren't they going to the beach? And
They go on to say that it's suicide rate, joblessness, and those things that are playing into it.
Interesting.
So, I guess everybody in New York City is under control.
Wow.
Which is good to hear.
Who would have thunk?
Right. Our retirees are the most stressed.
The strange thing about it is we have offices in Tampa. We've got offices in Jacksonville. We've got offices in Miami. I'm going to call my colleagues this morning and say, so how are you doing?
How you guys?
Well, maybe it's your fault.
Maybe it is.
Maybe everyone is stressed out because your companies are there. You know, that could be it.
That's a terrible thing to say.
I know. I'm sorry.
I'm sure.
I haven't had enough coffee yet.
Parkway Properties is in the business of making life easy and enjoyable for all of its tenants.
Right. Not stressful.
Well, location, as you know, in real estate is everything.
Yeah.
You hear that, you know, location, location, location. And when you do buy, you know, real estate, you look at that as the ingress and egress. And, of course, Peachtree Center you can get to from any side of town. But I've worked at Buckhead. I've worked at the Perimeter, various places around town. I live in the East Cobb area, and I will tell you, getting downtown is one of the easiest markets to get to.
Interesting.
It's a direct shot down 75, not a lot of cross traffic.
That's true.
So
I love my downtown commute.
Yeah.
But I don't even have to get on the highway.
Mine is, me either. Mine's really easy.
Good for you.
We're lucky.
Yeah.
I think where you live and where you work is such a huge factor in your overall quality of life in this city. I mean, in any city.
Sure. But I think it's interesting because all those cities listed on there, including Atlanta, I think are thought of as being pretty desirable places to live.
Southern.
Yeah.
Climate.
And warm.
Yeah.
You know, pretty, affordable, all those things. And so I think when people are looking for places to relocate, they would consider all of those places good until they read that list.
Well, and then the joblessness things, unfortunately, still in Atlanta, we're still in the nines.
Yeah.
9%, 9.2, I think was the last number. And we're still higher than the majority of the United States, which is concerning, but hopefully that will
turn around.
Go down.
Yeah.
Well, I'd rather live here than Portland, I think.
Portland's nice, though.
It is.
It's definitely grayer.
I'm not a rainy person.
Yeah, it's rainy. It's not good for the hair.
I'd rather have pollen.
We have so much more fun stuff going on.
Me too, I think. You know, it's interesting because Georgia is making a lot of lists these days. And I think maybe it's our mission on today's show to sort of turn people off of Georgia. So, I mean, we don't really want that to be our mission. So if you're listening, no, we really still love it here. But we last week we had Tom Creeley on, who is an ethics guy. And really interesting. I would have him back every week because yeah, he could be our barometer, you know, ethically. Like we could have him in here to say if you're actually ethical or not.
I think, yeah, reading the news with Tom Creeley and the ethics point of view.
Very interesting. Yeah. Anyway, so Tom sent us a follow-up email because he's just that kind of guy, really, you know, helpful and great. And he sent us an email. There was a study, I guess it came out last week sometime, and Georgia is the last ethically in the country.
I want to say business and government ethics.
Yeah, last. Dead last. So we have no ethics. We have a high pollen. And we're a place of stress.
We have a lot of opportunity.
I like that. Positive outlook. Yeah, ethically the worst in the country. Can you imagine?
So, what did he give some stories or some support? He
oh, it's a why? Very extensive study that they did. On looking at things like state workers and legislative leaders and how they interact with business executives and people
Marty
that
just
give
rolled her
money
eyes.
To campaigns.
I heard legislative in there.
Insurance companies, public utility companies, lobbyists, the cable and TV industry, and how much intertwined they are with some of the politicians. And though, you know, there's regulations around that, apparently it's easy to get around those. So there's a ripe opportunity for corruption was what the article said.
Yeah. And I wonder if the actual laws and things if there were less ways around it. Which is sad because it means that people are still unethical. It's just harder to find the cracks, you know. But I guess here the cracks are wide open and people can just misbehave.
Either that or it's on the surface where a lot of cities it's underground and you don't know about it.
Well,
which actually could be even worse.
Actually, there was an interesting piece on, the informal economy and the effect that has on growing the formal economy. So if there's you tend to think there's a population of people that, you know, they can't afford to pay the taxes or go legit on all of the ways of doing business. So they kind of do business on this underground informal economy and that's okay. But I think it was McKinsey Consulting did a study on the larger economic effect of that on the country's ability to grow if you allow that type of informal economy
to exist.
That it takes away from the ability of the legitimate businesses to grow.
On the legislative side, yesterday I've got a 14-year-old son and he got the opportunity and was invited to be a page at the state capitol yesterday.
Oh,
so that was quite
fun.
An experience. You know, I think his number one thing is, yay, I don't have to go to school today.
I can appreciate
but
that.
But I told him he needed to come home with three things so he could, you know, stand up in front of his social studies class and let them know that here's a picture of me. I was really there. And he came home and he had just a huge day, thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it. And, you know, did some page work and was able to stand up in a couple of the podiums and get his picture taken. And he said, but the best part was when they all started arguing back and forth. and he said he was exhausted when he got home. And he said, now, Mom, I know how you feel after a day of the mental side of it, where, you know, some people aren't used to that mental exhaustion. And he said, I'm worn out.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense that those types of debatable conversations are.
Yeah. Don't recall so much the conversation, but just the heated argument back and forth he thought was quite entertaining. So.
And tiring. It is true. It is true. Mentally, you can get tired just as easily as physically.
Oh, very much. It's almost worse.
Yeah.
It's almost worse.
That's true. Interesting. Yeah.
Mental will keep you up at night. Physical stress.
Physical will put you to sleep at night. That's actually better. Yeah, you're right. Given the two.
Yeah, we've got that figured out.
Yeah, done. Look at us just checking things off the list.
So switching to some of the good things that Georgia is doing.
Nursing, oh, look at you.
Nursing top, Tops Magazine top 10 list of the best jobs. So if people are looking for one of the top jobs to enter into, it looks like the nursing field is the way to go.
Well, and Marty was saying before we got on the air, what was it, the top 15?
Healthcare.
Top 15 jobs or top 10 jobs?
Well, the top 10 are all, you know, either in the medical field or technology, of course, you know, software.
And those are huge industries for us here.
Yeah.
in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And it hits near home to me because I've got a daughter who's a junior in high school, and we are going through the college thing. And there's another article in there that talks about, for the last two decades, if you will, we have just preached to the younger generation that four-year college degree, must have, you got to do.
Yeah.
And if you look at the prices of colleges these days, it's insane. It's near obscene. But, and so I need to put this list in front of my daughter because she is everything but medical.
Oh, well, please. I have a daughter that's a sophomore in college, and
okay.
She's,
well, you know,
she's the whole other side of the, she's artsy and, literature, and she's a history major with a minor in religion. So she's never getting a job. And I've just resigned myself to that.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Like, I mean, unfortunately, you can't really make somebody into that kind of person if they're not.
They're not.
However, I would imagine that there are jobs in that field for more creative people. Like, there are marketing positions and there are, things like that. So there are ways to sort of probably take advantage of the fact that that industry is so in need of workers. But if you're not medical, like, I'm sorry, I would pass out in a second. The sight of blood, I'd be on the floor.
Not me. But it says in there that they're encouraging more technical positions as well, because the skilled labor force, I think the average age is between 47 and 65. And
yeah.
There's a huge break there of there's nobody to build the buildings and to clean the buildings and so on and so forth for all these college students that are coming out and, getting your, let's say, Wall Street jobs, whatever you want to call them.
Sure.
And so the skilled labor force is wide open, and there's nothing to harvest.
Well, the other thing I think is interesting is, with the economy being the way it is and a lot of people being out of work, as you mentioned, the jobless numbers, especially here, some of those positions, the technical positions in the medical field, like I don't even know what they're called, but like X-ray technician, the people that do,
or
them,
even just a transcriber of,
but all those things that you can train specifically for vocationally, people that have a lot of people that have lost their jobs in other fields can kind of go out and get those trainings.
That's a great point.
And get jobs, because those trainings, generally speaking, it's not like going to medical school that takes 20 million years, but you can go and in 2 years, usually you can get whatever training you need, whatever degree you need to do some of the, and it's less for some of the jobs. And then you have an actual, like, they don't really care what your previous resume is. You can do that job so that you can get hired.
That you can write.
Yeah. I have several
leverage.
Friends that are doing that. And if you have the stomach for being around broken bones and whatever, I don't think I could do it just because of that. Like, the idea of being, somebody that does x-rays is all fine and good if it's an x-ray on you and you're perfectly healthy and upright and standing in one piece. But if your arm is dangling off, like, forget it. I would pass out. I couldn't do it.
I see a child with a bloody nose and I go the other way. It's horrible.
No, me too.
No, it's amazing how certain people are drawn to these other jobs that other people think, oh my gosh, I could never do that.
Right.
But thank goodness.
Right. I have a sister that's a nurse and
It takes a special talent. It really is. It's a gift. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, and it's one of those things that is never going to get technology, so much so that you don't require the human component. Like,
right.
A lot of other things are getting automated to the point of we don't even need the humans involved anymore.
Right.
But in the healthcare field, you're always going to have
that human touch.
Let's hope. They figure out a way to get rid of the humans.
Can you imagine going into the hospital and a robot comes out?
A robot comes in and brings you your, not good.
Jello.
Good morning. Your Jello, right. I was going somewhere grosser, so thank you for pulling me back from the brink. All right, so let's switch topics a little bit. We've got a bunch of interesting shows coming up today on Business Radio X, and we're going to get into that. But one of them is Showbiz Atlanta, actually, which is a show that I host, and we're doing two episodes today. We have a special episode this morning at 10 and then our regular time at 3:30. But the whole reason I'm bringing that up is not because of Showbiz Atlanta, but just because I noticed a piece of showbiz news in the Business Journal that I think is kind of sad, and I just wanted to mention it, and that is that Marietta's Theater in the Square is closing after 30 years in business. Yeah.
It is sad.
It is really sad.
They really tried to make the numbers work, but it sounds like the board met and, they did a lot of community outreach and raised some money, but it just ultimately wasn't going to be enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did a huge amount of effort put forth, and it's unfortunate.
It really is unfortunate. I think that there is, as somebody who obviously is interested in that industry running, doing the show and everything, it's just there's so much competition for people's entertainment space, whatever you want to call it. I mean, with all the different TV stations and, you know, game, video games, and there's just so much sort of pulling for people now, where in the old days, like, you know, you went to the theater. I mean, that's what you did.
The neighborhood theater.
And the neighborhood theaters were, you know, a destination. It was a fun night to get out. It was relatively affordable. You didn't have to commute all the way in the city to do it. Wow. And you got to see some really good stuff. And it is sad.
They had some great shows there.
Yeah.
Great shows.
Well, 30 years, they had an incredible run and an incredible presence in the community for a long time. So,
yeah, it's sad. I mean, you know, obviously things change and life goes on and what can you do?
But that is the nature.
But I mean, they didn't even come close to raising the amount of money. Apparently they needed $400,000 to keep going, and they were only able to raise $83,000. So they couldn't even get a quarter of it. So it is sad. Anyway, I just thought I would note that because, you know. A little tear, you know, I feel bad.
You know, you're ready for some good news. It's, you know, we've been, you know, struggling with the economy for 4 years now. And from a real estate perspective, of course, you know, we can talk about that all day long. But I will say that, you know, let's say 2 years ago, it was three steps forward and four back.
Yeah.
And it was a constant erosion.
Right.
We're still, you know, feeling the pains of it. But I do see where we're, you know, two steps forward, one back.
Yeah.
Things are still not, you know, to where they used to be, and maybe they will never be. I don't know.
We're
hoping so. But when you hear things like that after 30 years, you know, and some restaurants that are out there after 30 years. I was reading the other day where I wish I had the facts and figures, but a waitress that has worked at Mary Mac's.
Oh, yes.
Retired Flo. After 49 years.
Wow.
She had her own room built for her because she had so much clientele and they wanted to be,
at
her tables.
A special room. Mm-hmm. I know. Isn't that awesome?
That is pretty wild.
So there's stories like that that help to, you know, solidify the downside. But hopefully we're coming out.
It's interesting just talking about, you know, when a theater closes, you know, a lot of bookstores, Outright Bookstore in Midtown closed recently. It was there for many, many years. Mm-hmm. You know, lots of those kind of, again, artsier, more creative things are sort of going away. You know, we're talking about all these jobs in technology and medical, and, you know, I don't know, it just sort of seems like we're weighing so heavily towards that side of life right now, the technology and the artsy and more creative stuff is sort of, unfortunately, not getting funding, and, you know, slipping away.
You have to keep that balance in order to keep a city vital.
Well, and I would think from a real estate perspective, too, I know people say they want to move somewhere because they say it. I don't know if they really take advantage of it, but they often say they want to go somewhere where there's, you know, culture and there's access to, you know, theaters and museums and things like that. So, you know, if a city doesn't have that, then it's not as appealing.
That's very true. Yeah, I lived in a couple of different cities. You know, Dallas, Texas, loved it. It's a marvelous place if all you want to do is shop.
I do like shopping.
For those that are from Dallas, they're going to go, oh, gosh, be careful now.
be careful there.
From my perspective, a little lacking on the cultural, historic side of things.
Right.
And then I moved to Atlanta, and I thought, wow, got some history, got, you know, some culture. You're a short distance from the mountains. You're a short distance from the ocean, or really the, you know, the beaches as well on the Gulf side. So a lot of opportunity instead of just concentrating in one niche. So it is very important to bring big businesses here to Atlanta to be able to offer so many different faces.
When we've talked to some of the organizations that are here downtown trying to, you know, improve downtown, what's the name of the organization?
Right. Central Atlanta Progress.
Thank you, everyone. Again, not enough coffee on this side of the table. And, you know, they need to have a balance of all of that stuff here. There needs to be shopping and culture. And actually, shopping is one of the things that's kind of lacking in downtown. So maybe we could get Dallas to
trade a little bit. Outside of Peachtree Center, there isn't.
Go Peachtree Center.
There you go. Right. Yeah. And, you know, we don't say that we're shopping, but it is definitely an amenity base that a lot of our competitors that are around us use in sight on their own marketing material that, well, we've got, you know, 50 shops and restaurants, and we're going, well, that belongs to Peachtree Center.
You're like,
that's
no, awesome. You don't. No, you don't.
So but they, you know, use what? Their that, proximity to you
right.
as a selling point.
And that's okay. That's okay. The more customers we have, the better off we all are.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But anyway, it is interesting just because I think that mix is really important. Whether, you know, so if any one of the elements is missing, I would think that it takes away from the value from a real estate standpoint.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a very, you know, worker efficient place from an employer perspective, because you literally drive, you park your car, and you walk the rest of the day, which I think is quite refreshing versus having to be in a suburban environment. You got to get in the car, drive to the sandwich shop, whatever it may be. So I love working downtown.
That's true. I've worked downtown a couple of times throughout the 20 plus years that I've been here, and I really like it too. Mm-hmm. There's a good buzz that people do. If you're out in the suburbs, you don't realize you're missing it, I think.
Right.
But when you're here,
come into the city, and yeah, you do.
Yeah, there's always sort of lots of people buzzing around, and there's lots of activity.
More and more every day. I feel like it's getting busier outside.
Which is great, and we've got to continue to work on that. The convention business is slowly, making its way back from, the last couple of years. So, slow but sure.
Yeah. How involved are you in that? Do you just keep up with it?
Well, I mean, we've got, 3,000 hotel rooms in downtown Atlanta, and, I know the general managers in the various hotels, and so... the numbers in 2007 were, pretty much a high watermark.
Yeah.
And then literally the bottom fell out.
Lovely.
and so they're coming back, and Peachtree Center, back in the day where it, was a solid, 95% leased work environment, the retailers, some of which we've had there for 25, 30 years, will tell you that the audience used to be about 70% office and about 30% convention. And I will tell you, the numbers have completely flip-flopped. It's now about 70% convention-driven.
Wow.
And 30% office worker. So the convention business in downtown is huge. It's vital to really the success of downtown.
Interesting.
And Central Atlanta Progress, along with ACVB, Atlanta Convention and Visitors Bureau, which is housed at Peachtree Center.
Of course.
Do a great job. And then, of course, Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce as well.
But right.
It's vital to get those conventions here.
Now, when you're trying to, lease this real estate, are you competing with the suburbs, or is that when people are looking downtown, they're looking downtown?
It's very rare. Even if you, we have offices also in Midtown. We've got offices in Buckhead. We've got offices in the suburban area. Rarely do you capture a tenant from the north side of town that will come downtown,
gotcha.
Unless it's some type of maybe a government-based or need to be near the Capitol legislative type. But typically it's within the market or maybe the next market out, as in Midtown,
right.
Maybe airport.
So they might broaden their search a little, but it's not going to be like you're not competing with Alpharetta, basically.
Right.
Okay.
Now, when you speak with the brokers, the tenants are becoming more savvy in the fact that, well, gosh, my office is in Buckhead and I want to see what you have in 7 different markets. So only because it's a tenant market. And so they show them everything all over town and then they'll narrow the search. But
right.
They'll typically stay within, a decent distance of where their office currently
now is. I'm getting totally focused on this whole real estate thing, which it's okay, you're here, and that's why we invited her. So are the prices really different across different parts of town? I mean, do you pay a premium for being in downtown?
Absolutely not. Downtown is definitely a value play. Back in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was let's say a flight to quality is what people call it, and everybody moved up to Midtown, Wachovia, your large law firms, so on and so forth.
Right,
right.
And they left downtown pretty much, on their heels. But now I'd like to pose a question to those folks that have moved. How is your $32 rate versus our $19 per
okay.
square foot rate?
So Midtown is the priciest real estate market in the city.
Midtown and Buckhead. It depends on which building. I mean, you can still find value, in those markets, but your high profile towers are going to be, 28 to 32.
Right.
Give or take. Some people are out there going to go, well, gosh, we got a better deal than that. Well, good for you.
Right.
You had a good broker.
Yeah.
But, rates at Peachtree Center range anywhere from $17 to $19, and we've got space from 700 square feet to 100,000 square foot block.
Interesting. So, yeah. I think people automatically maybe have a mindset. I don't know. Again, maybe it's because I grew up in a different city that the city is the most expensive place to be and that you're going to get better deals the further out you go.
When you're in New York and Boston and D.C., that's a true statement.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, that's really somewhat the reverse.
Well, that's good to know. Everyone listening, come running into downtown because there's real estate to be had. You can call Marty directly. and Marty, find a place at Peachtree Center.
Why don't you tell us a little bit more about Parkway Realty Services and the services that you guys provide?
Parkway is actually a real estate investment trust known in the world as a REIT, which means that the concentration of our business has to be in real estate. We can't be a REIT and sell insurance. Concentration has to be in real estate. It also means that at the end of every year, you do have to cash out your profits to your shareholders.
Okay.
So that's, it's very, you know, SEC monitored, you know, so on and so forth.
Parkway, right. How a REIT operates is highly regulated.
Right. And Parkway started operating in 1983 in Jackson, Mississippi. We've got about 23 million square feet, heavy concentration in the Sun Belt area. 30% of that 23 million square feet is right here in Atlanta. So you can see we've got a sizable concentration here in Atlanta. But we manage, we lease, we acquire properties, we dispose of properties. So, you know, just a true real estate investment trust.
So how did you get into this area of the business? And
well, long story short,
make a long story long. We like long stories.
I graduated in fashion design.
Really?
And ended up in the real estate business. Yes.
That's a good one.
So, I love it. Well, we all have good stories
but
like that.
I guess the good side of it is I still love the creative side of the business.
You look very fashionable. Too bad this is radio.
I'm glad they can't see the headphones.
Me too.
But graduated in fashion design and then actually worked at the apparel mart in Dallas, Texas for quite some time and traveled with a women's suit line called Paul Stanley.
Interesting.
Which used to be, you know, that was 29 years ago. And
when you were like five?
Just, yeah, right.
Okay. Just checking.
Had to be.
And then met some folks that were in the real estate business in Dallas and grew from a shop of 7 brokers to about 75 brokers. That was back in the big Dallas boom when land brokerage was very popular. And moved to Atlanta. My husband's here from Atlanta, so we married in Dallas, moved to Atlanta, and I said, I want to be in the real estate business. So I interviewed, and that was 27 years ago.
Wow.
So anyway.
That's a good story.
And I like it because it's got so many different facets to it.
Well, it sounds like your job has, a lot of different components to it.
You've got the marketing side. You've got the legal side, of course, is heavy. You've got the financial side because, of course, you've got a very large mortgage payment to make, and you collect rent. And then the customer service side, which is one of my favorites, is, you know, taking care of your tenants and making sure that they're as happy in their office as they are at their own homes.
Well, it looks like Parkway Properties, one of their big parts of the value is the retention of tenants and making sure that people stay and they stay happy. So what are some of the things that you do to make that happen?
I believe our retention rate is, you know, I don't know what it states there, but for Peachtree, it's well over, you know, 85-86%. It's just much more economical to be able to retain a tenant than it is to try to backfill the space.
Sure.
You get into tenant improvement cost, you get into brokerage cost, and, you know, just the downtime as well. So in taking care of the tenants, it's very much a service-based industry, and you have to put the technology aside, even though we use a lot of that, and still have that constant face-to-face with your customers because there is a face there. So that's very important. We do have some programs in place. You know, we always have tenant parties. We have sustainability right now, of course, is a big issue. And folks enjoy hearing that their landlord is green, if you will.
I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because first of all, there's a story in the news right now about Google's new data center in Atlanta. I don't know if you saw that, about the fact that it's actually one of the first of its kind because it's using all recycled water for cooling. So it's also caring about that sustainability and whatever. But so I was going to ask you, what do you guys do in terms of sustainability and trying to make your buildings more sustainable and green and all of that?
Well, it depends a lot on the age of your asset. Obviously, Peachtree Center came out of the ground in the 60s, the 70s, and 80s. So we have, you know, really a steep uphill challenge. And so we go after the low-hanging fruit, which is if you're not recycling, then be ashamed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just...
do you just walk around and shame people?
You know, that's just one of the number one things that we do.
So do we make it easier for tenants? I mean, is that something...
We do. You know, nowadays it's called a single stream.
Yeah.
We used to have all of these, you know, waste cans underneath their desk and put aluminum here and put paper here and so on and so forth. Now it's either food trash or it's...
Everything else.
Everything else.
You know, it's so interesting that you say that because one of the things that, I have recycled more. I'm going to admit it right here and you can shame me if you want. But over the course of my life, I have been better and worse about doing recycling. And sometimes I've gone from better to worse. I'm actually not in a great space right now in terms of that in my condo.
It depends
because
on how the building,
right.
The buildings that you frequent, if they make it easy
correct.
For you or not.
It's we even find it with our tenants. I mean, you know, I was recycling 15 years ago when I was at Atlanta Financial Center, and it was kind of the new thing, let's say 20 years ago. And it was kind of the new thing, and it's all about you've got to educate and remind. It's a constant awareness program, really. And so now people just do it really automatically. Food goes to the kitchen. Everything else goes in, you know, a clear bag. And at the end of the day, the trash people will come through. Clear goes in one place. Black bags go in another, which is food, and it disappears.
But food means anything that had food on it, too, right?
Anything that's food contamination.
This is where I get... Seriously, I'm such a knucklehead when it comes to this stuff. Like, I'd always stand there. At my last office, before I was working here, they had that. They had just gone to that, though, with the food in one and everything else in the other. And I would stand there looking at the two, holding, like, my styrofoam container that had food in it, mm-hmm. being so confused. Like, wait, this has some crumbs in it. Does it go with the food, or do I put it... And it would just perplex me. And I would just stand there. I'd waste like 20 minutes of office productivity staring at these bins, not knowing what to do.
90% of what comes out of an office is going to be just white paper.
Yeah, right. Of course.
The new thing, and one of our properties in Midtown just started this, is composting food waste.
Interesting.
And so that's a new product that, and of course, with the retail food purveyors that we have at Peachtree, we're looking into that as well. But where they take, because right now, all of the wet trash, if you will, which is food contaminated, does, you know, cost money and it's very heavy. So they, you know, charge by the weight. And so now we're getting into looking at composting that on site. You've got to be able to capture, you know, the odors and that type of thing and set it up accordingly. But it's not necessarily the recycling side of it. Recycling is all about getting it out of the waste stream.
Right.
Right. Reducing the amount of stuff that ultimately ends up in a landfill rotting for eternity.
It's not necessarily a savings because you don't have as much trash. We'll always have trash. It's just diverting.
Yeah.
Diverting it.
Now, other than recycling, are there other things that are going on in the buildings to try, you know, energy cost reduction, things like that? Or is it just too hard in an older?
Absolutely. There's a lot going on. It's a known thing typically in office buildings that normal business hours, Monday through Friday, and then half a day on Saturday. We're seeing that the half a days on Saturdays are going away and you don't provide air anymore.
Oh, that's good.
Well, I've had that happen where you come in on a Saturday and the air's off.
This is hot.
And it can be stifling.
It's a good idea to just not work on Saturday, I think.
Well, that was like the last Saturday I ever worked. I was like...
Done with this.
Yeah. Yes. If the building's empty, if you will, why continue to run the services?
Yeah.
Now, we do have leases in place that do dictate we do that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of an understood courtesy. If you're going to be here... We as a landlord have the obligation to turn it on, and we'll do so.
Right.
But if you're not going to be here, we're not.
Right.
We're not going to turn it on.
Well, I think that's sort of
wasteful.
Yeah, and I think that's sort of a good message to companies. Like, you know, people can get work nowadays. People can get work done at home, and why not just if they have work to do, why not encourage them to do that, and you know, not go to the office if they don't need to, or if they need to get a few people together to meet, they can meet at Starbucks, or who will now be our sponsor, or you know. Because really, you're right. I mean, to cool or heat a huge building or even just a huge office space within a building for two or three people that are coming in is extremely wasteful.
In downtown Atlanta recently started, it's called the Better Buildings Challenge. And it's saving 20% or shaving, I should say, 20% of your energy costs by 20% by 2020.
Yeah.
20% is a lot.
Yeah.
And electricity is not only just heating and air, it's also lighting.
Right.
You know, it's the computer load, it's et cetera, et cetera. And so Peachtree Center is part of that Better Buildings Challenge. And right now, basically, it's a format for a lot of the downtown buildings to join in. As a goal, if you will. And of course, the long-term goal is to have Atlanta be one of the friendliest cities when it comes to sustainability, which would, the ultimate goal is to get federal funding to fund some of the projects that, you know, buildings would like to do, whether it's lighting retrofits or whether it's completely replacing your HVAC equipment. Because, you know, what you have 30 years ago is not nearly as efficient is what's coming into the market today.
And also, we want to be on the top of one of these lists, a good list.
We do. We would love to see Atlanta, the number one sustainability city.
That would be cool.
That would be a good one.
I bet it's San Francisco right now, is it?
That I can't answer. I don't know.
But all the hippies live there. It's got to be, right?
That would make sense.
California is always ahead of the curve on all of those environmental initiatives.
You're right about that. Yeah. They certainly look like they're cooler, no pun intended, than us. But maybe in the end, we will actually out-cool them? Then no. Totally. Forget it. I have to let that go. I'm just going to let it go. So speaking of letting things go, at the end of the day, you know, when all this is stressing you out in the most stressful city with no ethics and whatever, you need to have a drink. And I'm all about beverages for whatever.
Place.
Last week we talked about Pepsi and their new ridiculous drink that they're proposing. Ridiculous.
I haven't heard of it. What is it?
Oh,
right?
It's ridiculous. We talked about it last week.
Half diet, half sugar.
Yeah, they're proposing this new, what they're calling, it's like a mid something drink. I forget what they called it now because I don't have it in front of me. But Pepsi Next is what it's going to be called. And it's a mid-calorie drink is what they're saying. So half the calories of a full soda. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. If they asked me, if they called me, I could save them millions of dollars in production,
research,
in marketing. I could just tell them it's a dumb idea. Apparently what they're doing is going after this male market, supposedly, who don't want to drink diet drinks because it's too sissy, but need to lose a few pounds.
Okay.
Like that is like the come on. So all those guys right now, by the way, are drinking Coke Zero, who are now going to be our sponsor. Because Coke Zero is totally aimed at men and it has no calories, but it's like this black can with the red writing and it's very, and men are not embarrassed to drink it. It's cool.
They've captured that. Yeah. So why would you do half a tablespoon of sugar?
Right. If you're going to compete, you need to do another low, zero calorie drink. Don't, with this mid-calorie, it's so dumb.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
what's our beverage news for this week?
The beverage news for this week from your beverage queen, apparently, is that Sweetwater Brewing is expanding their operations here in the Atlanta area so we can all get drunk more readily. No, apparently they have a whole new expansion project with a new brewery and the whole bit, and it's a big deal, and it's going to bring a lot of jobs and a lot more beer. So
that has been a great company for Atlanta, I think, and they've done a lot for the economy. So to see that they're continuing to grow and expand is very exciting.
Mm-hmm. It's a local couple, isn't it?
It is. Yes. And they're going to have, you know, they're going to be doing bottling and packaging and all that stuff here, not just brewing. So, I mean, I think that's,
they're going to quadruple their beer making capacity.
And I think the thing that's really cool about Sweetwater is now it's a very popular, nationally recognized brand, and it's from here, which is cool. We like that, you know, because
we do like that. Atlanta's got a lot of headquarter based, you know, companies.
That's true. But some people,
I mean, Coca-Cola, Delta, are you kidding me?
Yeah, well, of course. But I think some like that are so big and so old that people don't even think about that anymore. I mean, Coke is Coke. People don't go, oh, Atlanta, go Coke. You know, if you're here, you do. But if you're in Philadelphia, like, I didn't know that Coke was from here when I was growing up, I had no clue. Why would I?
I think everybody knows that now.
Now? I think so too.
I think
you may
so
be right.
Now.
But maybe it's because we live here. I don't know if that's true. I don't know.
Did you drink Coke in Philly, though?
I did.
Did you?
I did.
I thought that was Pepsi country.
Not for me. I mean, I always drank
good for you.
Tab before Diet Coke and then Diet. Yeah, it was gross, but whatever. Now Diet Coke. Oh, Tab's never going to be our sponsor. Whatever. I think that's gone anyway. Can't even buy Tab anymore.
I was going to say.
But I did drink Coke. I was always a Coke girl versus Pepsi, but. There was no competition. Like up there, it was just whichever one you had. It was no big deal.
A Coke was could be a Pepsi,
I guess. And I think that we didn't. I mean, I honestly have no idea. I still don't really know where Pepsi's from. Why would I ever think about that? Does anyone know? Do you know? Where's the headquarters of Pepsi?
I should know
Chicago.
That.
Are you Googling real fast to find out? Oh, Google it. No. But yeah, I don't know. But so I didn't know where Coke was from. And Delta, I guess the same thing. I never really thought about it.
Delta actually started in Mississippi Delta. And then
I never knew that. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Marty. I feel like I just learned something this morning. I love when that happens. But yeah, I didn't know that either. I mean, in fact, up there growing up, Delta was not a big airline for us because it wasn't a hub.
Right.
So we were flying like US Air or whatever it was at the time. Eastern. I think we were flying Eastern Airlines at the time.
I remember when they went down in the 80s.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Me too. But anyway, Sweetwater is obviously much newer. And so it's sort of, we watched it grow up here, mm-hmm. You know. And I was saying to somebody, I don't really drink too much beer. I stopped that after college, I guess, for the most part. I still have one occasionally, but I got so confused because, you know, back in our day, not that we're all dating ourselves, there were like five kinds of beer. It was like there was beer. There was like maybe a darker one and like a gross one and a middle. And yeah. And like it was really exciting to get like a foreign beer like Heineken or Amstel Light was like really exciting, you know, like those were the classy beers at the time. And now those are kind of the tacky ones, you know. But now if you go out to get a beer somewhere, there's like these lists that go on for days with all these different kinds of fruity beers and chocolate beers. And I'm so confused. I couldn't order a beer today if my life depended on it.
I don't drink, so I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah, well, see, there you go.
It's a very overwhelming selection.
Yeah, I have a glass of wine, and I'm good with that because I know how to order that.
There's also a shop in Five Points where you can go in and you can design your own. I mean,
dear God, I would be so lost.
All your different
flavors that you want.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What kind of hops you
want. Oh, please.
What kind of
barley,
wheat. My brother brews his own beer. So.
Oh, I see our expert right here. We need beer. We go to you. Yeah, because I have no idea. But I do sort of at least vaguely recognize the brands that are sort of growing, mm-hmm. You know, just from being in the grocery store or out at a bar or whatever. So I just think it's cool that Sweetwater's here and doing well in this economy. Of course, alcohol never struggles in terms of sales. The worse the economy gets,
it can be a reverse economic indicator.
Right. The more,
the worse things are, the more people drink.
Totally.
But
Marty doesn't drink, but she might.
They drink the cheaper stuff, so it kind of cancels out.
Though I bet you people.
Whereas when times are good, it's like break out the champagne.
That's true. Maybe champagne market goes down a little bit. But I think, you know, you're right. People drink. I don't even know if the cost matters because at that point, you want to drink, you want what you want. I don't know if
it has an inelastic demand.
There's a few businesses like that. I know security is another one. The worse times get, the more more security people want on their homes and their buildings and all of that, because mm-hmm. They start to get fearful. Which also reminds me of the Tide, the conversation we had about Tide. Was that last week?
Yes.
And I saw another headline about that. Apparently Tide is the new black market.
Oh, yeah. It seems to be walking out of Target stores.
So weird.
I guess they declared that was nothing but a rumor. But I thought about that last night because there I was at Target buying Tide.
And then you were like worried to take it out to
the
parking lot.
Put it in the cart rather than in your purse, right?
You have to have a big purse to carry it.
Well, I can remember when you used to pay, you know, $10, and of course it was just it was the laundry, you know, dry detergent at the time.
Yeah,
and
right.
Now it's $18 for this
liquid.
It's
expensive to buy those.
Now, I'm trying to, like, we talked about this a little bit last week, but my little brain has been working on it all week, I think. How do you steal Tide, right? Because it's pretty big containers.
It's heavy. It's large.
So this is what I was thinking. We could try this later if anyone's up for it. You know,
I'm thinking totally not shoplifting Tide with you.
Oh, come on. It'll be fun. Just as an experiment. And then we'll just say, just kidding. And we'll give it back. But
yeah, good luck with that.
Just kidding. Bring a camera so they know we're, you know, this is all for like candid cameras.
Right.
Right. But I was thinking, you know, I have done this before on accident. Where you put something underneath, like the big items, you know, on the cart,
sure,
underneath,
like toilet paper rolls.
Right, and then you forget to pay for it. You forget to put it up on the.
You just don't scan it because you don't. Yeah.
Right, and then you're like walking out, and you go, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I forgot to pay for this," and you go back if you're honest. But I feel like if you put your Tide down there, maybe, and you bought some other stuff, enough stuff that they wouldn't notice, you could just breeze on out of there with your Tide underneath. I think we should try it.
Well, they have those mirrors though down there. Like for exactly that.
Well, if they catch it, great. You pay for it and you go. But if they don't, then you just shoplifted yourself some Tide.
It's just hard to believe that a single individual could get away with that consistently.
I agree. I really am kidding about trying
right.
it, FYI,
if there's like
for
a
our
skill
listeners.
Set that you're looking to hone, it's interesting that you've managed to invest enough time and energy into the thought process of lifting Tide. But I guess it's expensive and it is essential.
Yeah.
So clean clothes are a good thing.
Clean clothes are a good thing. I mean, You can't get a good job if you don't show up in a clean outfit.
I mean, you would think that milk or something, milk and bread would be more attractive than Tide.
Yeah, but they go bad. So you got to hurry up and sell those fast. Tide, you know, you can stockpile that.
Yeah.
Warehouse right? of Tide.
And you could probably cheat. You could get some Tide bottles, right, and dump them out and then fill them up with cheaper detergent and really make a profit. Boy, wow. I have a really, really sick mind, don't I?
Maybe he's on that coupon show where they, you know, go in and they get 45 bottles of Tide for, and they pay him $6 to take it. I don't understand how those people make that work, those coupon folks.
Yeah. I don't know if I, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I do have a coupon specialist we're going to have on sometime to give
us
some tips.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. That's I didn't know upcoming. About that. But we're almost out of time. I want to bring us back to legitimate business.
Please do. Please do. Because I'm out of control.
We were talking about big companies. By the way, Pepsi is headquartered in Purchase, New York. But
nicely done.
UPS mm-hmm. is about to do this huge acquisition here that's going to double their European network. It's going to be a $6.8 billion acquisition that they're looking at right now.
Wow.
So that's pretty exciting to see some of the big companies here in Georgia making some big plays. Also, that Orkin plant, they sold the Caterpillar plant that
right.
they're mm-hmm. building out in Athens.
Yeah, Clarko we've been talking County. About that on a couple of shows here at Business Radio X.
So the acreage of land has been sold.
Yeah.
We're going to break ground on it. That's a big one.
Very big. Lots of jobs.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
That's a great thing.
Yeah.
So with that, good business to you all.
Right.
In the coming week.
Do we want to, Marty, do you want to give some contact information in case people want to, you know, lease some space over at Peachtree Center?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Make
absolutely.
Sure they know how to get in touch with you, Marty.
It's Parkway Properties.
Yep.
My name is Marty Blackstock, and our website is www.pky.com, where you can get a lot of the information of the many markets that we have. Peachtree Center also has a website, www.peachtreecenter.com. And if you'd love to reach out to me personally, I'm 404-654-1221.
That's awesome. Thank you. And so, yeah, we're out of here for the day. We'll be back next week with more stories of the day, more general purpose kibitzing, and some great guests.
Absolutely.
We'll see you then.